The Ulster History Circle puts up blue plaques on public buildings to people who've made a significant contribution to life in the nine counties of Ulster and beyond. And as a matter of fact, there are a number in Donegal. For example, in Letterkenny, in Church Street, there where you are, there's a plaque to James Duffy, a World War I soldier who was awarded the Victoria Cross for actions in Palestine. Elsewhere in Donegal, there's a plaque in Carndona to Captain Jack Crawford, who was quite a character. He was an American adventurer, writer and performer. He had a stage act with Buffalo Bill. And there's also a plaque to Sarah Leach, the weaver poet, that's in Raphoe, and Cecil Frances Alexander, the hymn writer. She's commemorated in Rameltill. So we have a number of these blue plaques in Donegal, and as I say, throughout the nine counties.
And the plaque in Strabane recently unveiled is commemorating John Dunlap. Now, could you explain who he was and what his link is to Strabane?
This is an extraordinary story. Just to go forward a bit, a 29-year-old emigrant from Strabane in Philadelphia, and he finds himself printing off and making public for the first time words which changed the history of the world, the U.S. Declaration, the American Declaration of Independence, one of the most treasured and revered documents in the United States and further afield. But anyway, he was born in Strabane in 1746, what's now Meeting House Street in Strabane. And he was a younger son, probably one of three sons and four daughters of John Dunlap, who was a saddler, and his mother was Sarah. And so that's the connection with Strabane. It's thought he was taken on as a very young apprentice at one of maybe a dozen printing presses in the town. Now, our plaque is on Gray's printing press. There's no way of knowing for sure if Dunlap was an apprentice in Gray's printing press. It's now run by the National Trust. It's preserved by the Trust. It's the last printing press that exists of, as I say, about a dozen there were in the heyday of printing, in what was a very, very industrious town at the time, in Strabane. So that's his guy. At the age of 10, he was sent to help his Uncle William, also an emigrant, who had a printing press in Philadelphia. And that's how he came to be in America.
And he ended up printing the Declaration of Independence, or at least the very early prints of it. And then later he also had a role to play quite closely with George Washington, didn't he?
He did. That story, Ryan, of how he gets to print, he became very successful. He took over the uncle's shop, having started off by sleeping under the counter and scrabbling for food in a market in the street outside. Very successful, bought out his uncle, expanded the business, started a weekly newspaper, the Pennsylvania Packet, which later became the first successful daily newspaper in the U.S. And then he was taken on as printer to what was called the Continental Congress. Now, that was the assembly that was set up to discuss and eventually agree the Declaration. So on the day, the 4th of July, that document was agreed, they summoned John Dunlap and said, right, here's the fair copy. Get to work. He starts putting down the letters, setting up the print. It's nighttime. He's under pressure. They're in danger. This was a seditious document. They were rebels. And so he, as printer, was in as much danger as any of the people who signed it. So that in itself, so he gets it. He gets it printed. And I think about 200 copies, the Dunlap broadsides, they're called, about 200 copies initially. These are distributed throughout the 13 states, the former colonies, if you like, and they were still colonies, and read out, including by Washington, who reads it to the troops or has it read to the troops just a few days later. And he goes on to see active service in the War of Independence, the Revolutionary War. He was George Washington's bodyguard. He was a member of George Washington's bodyguard. He's believed to have fought alongside the Continental Army at the battles of Trenton and Princeton, the key battles. And he was an officer in the 1st Troop Pennsylvania City Cavalry. Now, later on, an interesting development, he led that cavalry in suppressing what was known as the Whiskey Rebellion against Washington, another connection here, against President Washington's government in 1794. This was when armed farmers fought a tax imposed on distilling surplus grain, and Dunlop led the Pennsylvania City Cavalry 1st Troop in putting down that rebellion. And he wrote of that time, "With pleasure I tell you that when the laws and government of this happy country, 1794, require defence, the 1st Troop of Philadelphia Cavalry wants but 1 hour's notice to march." So he didn't lack self-confidence. He didn't lack belief in himself. And I think that drive and enterprise is typical of so many emigrants from here who were instrumental in setting up and developing what's become that country today.
And what do we know about John Dunlop's legacy within the United States? Is it a big one?
Yeah, it is, because he became very prominent. I mean, he is known for the reasons that I've outlined, but also because, I mean, he had very responsible positions there. I mentioned his founding of the Pennsylvania Packet, the newspaper. He printed paper money for Pennsylvania and Virginia, and during his life, he gathered considerable personal wealth. He bought up the property taken from Loyalists who refused to take the new Pennsylvania loyalty oath. And eventually he owned about 100,000 acres in several states. He was very, very prominent. And I mean, his legacy, for example, Michael J. Walsh, who is a historian, and he first went through what were the then known broadside editions. I mean, I think there are some 26 of them survive. Now, 26 of the ones that Dunlap printed off, 26 are known to still exist, and most of them are in museums. Back then, when Michael J. Walsh was looking at them, what were then the known number, he called the Dunlap broadside the single most important printed document in our national annals. So there's the influence he has. There's his legacy. I mean, this was an extraordinary moment in world history, the printing of the Declaration, at dead of night, over the night of the 4th and 5th of July, 1776. And Dunlap, this young apprentice from West Tyrone, became a key player in all of that.
And as the 250th year of the Declaration comes up, how important is it generally to commemorate key figures from Ulster who played a role in all of American history?
Well, it is important. I mean, not far from you, I don't know how far it is actually, Ryan, but you may be familiar with this. In Letterkenny, there's a connection to the American Revolution right where you are, and right where your very popular radio station is has its headquarters. Right. This is a man called the Reverend Francis Allison. This is just typical of what there is that we need to commemorate in this 250th anniversary year. The Reverend Francis Allison was from the parish of Leck, and he emigrated after becoming a Presbyterian minister. And in America, he preached to the Continental Congress. That, as I've said, that was the assembly that discussed and agreed the Declaration of Independence. And Allison was also a teacher. And three of his students signed the Declaration. Three men called McKean, Reed, R-E-A-D, and Smith. And if you look on copies of the Declaration, you'll find their names. Now, Alison, and here's another connection. Alison was highly regarded by Benjamin Franklin. And Franklin, of course, was one of the five people who drafted the Declaration. And here's another connection. John Dunlap's Uncle William, whom he went to help out in the print shop in Philadelphia, was married to a niece of Benjamin Franklin. There are all sorts of extraordinary connections. Why I love the work we do in the Ulster History Circle, because this is about stories. This is about celebrating local history and what people from, how they've been shaped by their home place and how that has shaped the contribution they have made throughout the world. So there's an example of why it's important to commemorate, to remember all the various connections that there are. I mean, we had a great day in Strabane, in Main Street, at the unveiling of this plaque to Dunlap. Dunlap has registered his influence, his story has registered at the highest levels in America.